Hey there, skips and skipperettes from all across the vast electronic wasteland known only as Internetland, and welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Hi there, I'm Skipper Kyle, host, producer, hippo wrangler, and your guide to the oral history that has been Tales from the Jungle Cruise for the last 4 years. So today is a solo operation. It's a short episode that's just me. We're going to look back at the last 4 years. We're going to talk about the podcast a bit, and we'll see what the future holds for our very own little community podcast. So 4 years ago, I sat down with two skippers that I had worked with back in 2003. One was leaving town for college, and the other joined us to record his memories of working the Jungle Cruise for posterity. That was Skipper Benny and Skipper Kaz, and it was a bunch of great memories that was punctuated by a hot mess of bad audio quality and editing. At the time, I had no clue what I wanted to do with this strange concept. You know, it's amazing how far podcasting has come in the last 4 years. You know, back then, the Nerdist podcast wasn't even a year old, Serial wasn't even a twinkle in anyone's eye, and most of the time when I use the term podcast, people just looked at me funny. Really funny. So first of all, let me roll back the clock a little bit. The year was 1981 when I first visited Disneyland. My family had moved from Seattle to California, and my dad was with the Boy Scouts up in the Bay Area. Now, me, dad, mom, and my sister made the trek down to Disneyland after we moved and before school started. Looking back, I can totally see this for what it was. It was a way to placate the 9 and 7-year-old who had just been uprooted from their family home in Seattle. Yeah, it was pretty smart parents. We had grown up in the wilds of Seattle, and the trip to California was really scary to us. But the trip to Disneyland really became a great focus, and even though we'd been living in middle-class areas, our family had always lived really modestly. But you know, like many families, a lot of the time, thought and money, it really went into summer vacations. We had gone to Bedrock Village in Arizona, the Flintstones theme park, and Playland up in Vancouver, British Columbia. You know, we'd also grown up watching The Muppet Show and, you know, Mork and Mindy on a black and white TV, and we often had the Sunday reruns of The Wonderful World of Disney on in our household. You know, although we really didn't have any of the level of fanaticism that would mark a Disney fan today, Walt and his world were a big part of our lives from a very early age, and the influence really did leave a mark on me and my sister. So I remember driving down to Anaheim in a station wagon, if that isn't stereotypical enough. And my dad made the stupid dad joke about the turn sign there, Disneyland left? Oh, well, I guess we have to go home if it's left. We were stupid, crestfallen kids, and we bought into it. Still, it's a good, indelible memory. Now, my memories of that trip now some 34 years ago are clouded by the fog of time. You know, not much besides my original enthusiasm and happiness stands out for me. I vaguely remember walking in through the gates, seeing the trains and the castle. I can't remember much in the way of rides or what we did or even how long we stayed. However, there are two memories that stood out for me. The adventure through inner space, looking at the miniature cars moving through that microscope, and the Jungle Cruise. Now, my dad had always had a sense of humor that relied heavily on puns, and we grew up around Boy Scout camps and skits and stupid jokes. They were there back even when I was 2 or 3. We read books that had a lot of puns, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, Amelia Bedelia, and that sort of humor always stuck with me. You know, I'd always told really bad jokes, and you know, I relished the attention that I got when I told a good joke or a good joke told poorly. My family had always said they expected me to go into comedy, and they kind of sort of pushed me into the limelight. So if you wonder where my love of attention and ego came from, especially if you worked with me, blame my family. So we get on the Jungle Cruise, and of course, to me, every joke was a zinger. Everything was sort of my sense of humor. I don't really remember any of the particular jokes, but I've been told that I spent much of that summer repeating them and telling similar jokes. Now, my delivery was probably a bit off. Again, that probably continued all the way through my actually being a skipper. So the highlight of that entire trip to Disneyland and everything that stuck with me from back then really was my trip on the Jungle Cruise. Now, here comes the self-realizations that I've had over my whole adult life. Look, guys, I was a hugely socially awkward kid. I grew up compensating for having that modest upbringing in a socially upwardly mobile school by becoming a class clown and showing off. It got me into a lot of trouble, but I always loved the limelight, sometimes a little unhealthfully. More so, though, as I look back, I realize that I was always the outcast kid. And I know that I had a lot of social issues that really weren't good. It was really the same in high school. I never really felt like I fit in, particularly after a family divorce, and also being smart but not knowing how to have any filters or social skills. So I was just a kid who nobody really liked, got beat up a lot, and showed off in class and just told bad jokes. You know, it worked a little bit more when I got into college and I got into improv theater. And I learned how to channel that a little bit and opened up my own improv theater group for a couple of years. I got to teach theater and I got to chase down that performer's lifestyle up and down the West Coast. Yeah, but it did cost me that college education that I do wish that I'd be able to have now. You know, through this all, I was always a big Disney fan. And I remember seeing nearly every animated film as it came out. And it was with me, and it was with so many people. It really was something that became part of, you know, life. So my next trip to Disneyland came just over 14 years later. I was 22, getting married to a lovely girl for whom I still hold in the highest regard in my heart and mind. So we were living modestly, as many newlyweds of that age did, but we had decided we would go to Disneyland for a late honeymoon, a year or so after we got married. So in 1995, we went for the first of our two trips to Disneyland from the Northwest. It was right around the Indiana Jones opening, and I still have my AT&T decoder card from that trip. But even then, Jungle really was my favorite highlight. Now, granted, the Monte Cristo sandwiches at the Blue Bayou were probably the runner-up, but I was always a food-loving kid. So in 1999, I got transferred to SoCal, and my wife and I became regular visitors to the park. Getting an annual passport was a huge thing for us, and we would come in on many nights just to have lunch or dinner, ride a few rides, and just enjoy an hour or two in the park. I remember visiting the hotel before the demolition of the older buildings and riding the monorail from that old station. So in January of 2001, I was faced with a difficult career decision, a divorce, and a lot of turmoil. So I left my corporate job and got hired at California Adventure on the Malibuamer and the Orange Stinger. When I went in to hire, my first choice of the Jungle Cruise was unavailable, but I was told transferring wouldn't be too hard. I look back at that and laugh a little bit at them telling me it. But I had a great time at DCA, and then I left for a little bit for a photography job. When I came back, I was hired into Jungle in 2003. Now, I already knew the routine, but the orientation felt even more magical. Even before I'd started training, I'd been invited to view a screening of a cast-produced competition film between Jungle and Storybook. It was a great chance for me to meet a lot of the people who I would call friends and co-workers for the next 5 years. Day one, I got to meet Skipper Benny, and I cannot tell you my excitement at working in the Jungle. So Skipper Kaz was one of my first two Jungle trainers, and it was somehow really appropriate for me to have Benny and Kaz on my first recording of the podcast. Now, Jungle felt amazing to me. It was scary to be in my 30s, leaving a stable job and career while so many people accused me of throwing away my life and career to work at a theme park. It felt like I'd come home. You know, I worked on my love of photography, developed my equipment and skills, and I just enjoyed what life was throwing at me, even if it was on a severely smaller paycheck. Now, when I was at Jungle, I was 10 years older than most of the Jungle kids, and I didn't really fit in to the parties and some of the social cliques, but I kind of felt accepted. I got to mess around, I got to have the social interaction I'd never had in my earlier years, and I made some great friends. Sometimes, as the Jungle often encourages, my sense of self and ego got blown a little out of proportion. You know, that had its moments, and you know, I know there were some people I worked with for whom I left a bad taste in their mouth. I know that I lost sight at times of what the job was about, and I enjoyed being the center of the show. But even with that, I eventually swung around and finally started to understand what was going on around me and how special it was. The friendships, the experiences, and the time that we were in at that point in the Disneyland timeline. You know, I've said it before that everyone gets their summer in the Jungle, and that no summer is really better than any other, but I really feel like those years leading up to the 50th were somehow different and special. I made some incredible friends, got to work with great people, the script was a little bit loose at the time, and I really, though, look back at my interactions with Jerry York as the Jungle A-lead and realize how much he shaped my life at Disney. And I wonder if that was how people who told me about their stories of working with Don Chapman in the 90s felt. You know, probably. Jerry is an incredibly fine human being. I've always subtly and not so subtly paid my respect to him in the podcast and the radio plays. Plus, he has awesome taste in movies and music. You know, lots of great memories. I did another break then, and then I came back and worked Indian Jungle for the second time and left the resort finally in around 08. In that seven-year stretch, I had loves, adventures, highs, lows, and everything else. I did gain a metric ton of weight. When I left the resort, I decided to work on that, and I've lost 75 pounds and 12 inches since I left. You know, I've commented about that in the past, but man, I was huge. Really wish there were healthier food options for cast members. But in the 4 years after I left, Jungle continued to play a big part of my life. The friends I'd made, my whole way of being, it was very still influenced by my time at Disney and my time on the Jungle Cruise. Now, somehow I'd received an iRig microphone so I could record into my iPhone 3G. I was a fan of a number of podcasts, and I knew I wanted to do something with it, but I didn't even know what that was. So that led to the first episode with Kaz and Benny, then Dave Casella, Joey and Trevor, my good friends Chris Hames and Chris Ramirez. Early on, I don't even think I had a clue at what I was doing. We were just shooting the bull, sometimes crossing a few lines of good taste, and I really had no idea what it was I was doing. That changed on episode 8. Now, I had put up a Craigslist ad asking for skippers who'd worked on the ride to get in touch with me. The big response I'd gotten was from Christopher Lamberth. Now, if there's a moment that the podcast changed and evolved into what it was with him. Lamberth and Grant Pachoco came to a store at the LA Farmers Market that I was running, and they recorded about an hour of their reminiscences. That was a strange and crazy string of events. I actually had to duck out for extended periods of the interview, so they were just reminiscing on mic, and the form and content of the podcast that I would continue now, it was born then. Talking about why you came to the resort, your life at that point, what your experiences were, your rehire status. It was crazy, too, because at the time I was stoked if I would get 30 downloads in a single day. I had no clue about how different it would be 3 years later. So Chris and Grant helped me get in touch with James Greathouse, Sue B., Laura Huff, and those connections eventually led to everyone else I've had on the podcast. We've had dozens and dozens of skips, over 100 episodes, and I was able to have some great highlights as we slowly filled in the years of content. The episodes got a little more polished, and we experimented a bit. We did the ill-fated Nerd 101 podcast, and of course we did the Jungle Cruise radio plays, where we introduced Skipper Gary London and Skippy and had 8 episodes of their adventures. I still get regular emails asking for more episodes, and it's something we're always considering. Joey Hurley and Trevor Kelly really helped me create those and bring to life some of the Jungle fan fiction that had been stuck up in my head for years. So many great memories. We've had skippers from the 70s and 80s, a couple of amazing moments with virtual strangers, and the great find that was our interview with Don Bobbs, who had started in the late 60s. Then in February, we were able to find Skipper Warren Asa, who had been working in the Jungle on the very first day that the park was open. Now in February, we had our biggest single moment for the podcast when we were featured on Chris Hardwick's The Nerdist podcast. I've mentioned this many times since then, but the scale of which in the podcast has increased, how much has been listened to, is nearly unbelievable for me to think about. We've had a 20-fold listener increase, and on some days I've seen download numbers that I would never have dreamed of, 10,000 to 40,000 on some of the February and March days. And because of them, we now have thousands of iTunes subscribers, and in May we reached an accomplishment that I never thought I would see, and we saw our 1 millionth download. It still blows me away that in our first year we had something like 5,000 downloads total over 11 episodes. Yeah, crazy, truly. Now, we've had the unfortunate curse that a niche podcast has, and we've had a very inconsistent publishing schedule. Still, we just finished up a nearly 20-episode run of nearly every other week, and I didn't want to break that up too much, so I thought we'd have a little chat today. We can't always get interviews up every single week, or sometimes even every month. But I do have 3 recordings scheduled in the next 2 weeks, so we'll be getting back to our regular schedule again soon. So over this last weekend, we had a couple of really exciting moments that I wanted to share. I was able to attend the same large West Side Attractions reunion that I had attended 2 years ago, and was able to make a lot of great connections. Now, I have about a dozen new names, new voices, about what it was like to work in the Jungle, and I'm really excited about bringing those to you in the next few months. Fingers are crossed we won't fall too far behind in publishing episodes, but please bear with us. There were about 120 people from the 80s and 90s at that event, and it was amazing to see people who had met 30 years ago who were still as close as could be. It was like a high school reunion, but with, you know, all the positive and loving feelings and none of the weird high school baggage. I felt really honored to be asked to come and hang out the last time and this time, but sadly we weren't able to record any interviews there as we had planned, nor were we able to record at our Sunday event the day after. We just finished up a lovely Sunday social at Sam's, continuing our skip gathers. We had about a dozen and a half, two dozen people swing by and visit us. It was a really great time, and I really want to thank everyone who came to drink, eat, and be merry with us. I really genuinely appreciate it, and I love chatting with people. Also really love seeing all these new Jungle Cruise t-shirts in person. So the big reason for chatting with you like this today... Well, I guess I've never really sat down and put the podcast into a perspective of how it fits within my life, you know, not with all this detail. I've seldom in my entire life felt like I fit in. But between Jungle and this podcast, I really feel a special connection, and I feel like what I'm doing is important and meaningful. I've had some discussions last weekend at the reunion with about a half a dozen people who've become listeners of the podcast, who really said some wonderful things about what we're doing and how it's affected them. I was told by more than one person that they thought that what I was doing originally would just be riding on the coattails of Disney and the Jungle for my own glorification. But when he heard the podcast, they understood that I really respected the ride, the people who've been on it, and that the podcast really did work as an oral history of what it was like to work at Disney. And they commented that I was able to turn the stories into something valuable and special. All of those words that you guys shared really meant so much to me. I guess part of this whole episode today is I wanted to thank everyone again and let you all know that I'm grateful for you opening up and letting me and these stories into your life. It's a lesson that I'd forgotten sometimes while I was in the Jungle, but I genuinely know now, and I really have for the entire run of the show. I hope you all know what I mean by it, but really listen, the podcast isn't about me. I get to have fun, put in my opinions, and sometimes be a little hammy, but what it's about for me... I'm just happy to be part of the show. For me, this really is about you, the listeners, and the skippers, and the history. And getting an hour to go back in time and relive something that was as wonderful and important to you as working at the Jungle was for me. Now, we're getting ready to head into our fifth year of this, and we have some amazing guests lined up already. It's going to be super exciting, and thank you again genuinely for listening every episode and sharing us with your friends and Disney-loving people in your life. So I do have a few quick housekeeping things at the end of this I just want to share with you, so please bear with me. First of all, I know that not every story is really something that works for the long-form podcast that we have. So for the first time, I want to invite you to record your Jungle stories, whether you're a cast member or guest, and send them in to us. Send them in to us on MP3 or WAV format to JungleCruise, C-R-E-W-S, @gmail.com. If we can, we'll use them on future shows to share your memories with the audience. You can even sit down with friends and record your own episode of the show. If you have any questions about this, please drop me a line. I would love to answer your questions about the show and how to produce your own episode of the podcast. Secondly, as I've said a number of times throughout the years, this show is a labor of love for me. And if you've ever used that term, you know that part of what it means is that it's expensive but fulfilling. We appreciate all the people who've donated through the years through our PayPal link, but because we don't want to step on any legal issues with advertising, we have, of course, decided to offer some side products to help support the podcast. The merchandise from the Jungle Cruise shop has been great, and we've seen a lot of those t-shirts on people. They're actually really great quality, much better than we expected at the start. These shirts are all designed by Skips, and we will even put your ideas or artwork onto them. And you'll get the profit for those designs too, by the way. We want this to be a collaborative effort. Those shirts can be found over at Gallery, GALLOREE.com. Just search Jungle Cruise and our shirts will come right up, CREWS. We also have links over at Facebook and Podbean as well for the links to the shirts. Now, as a special announcement, for our anniversary, we are going to put reduced prices on nearly all of our shirts on the site. So if you've been waiting to pick up a shirt, this is definitely the time to do it. Apparently, the coupon code BIG10 should still be active as well. That'll get you 10% off your entire order. So now some of the shirts are under $12 a piece for white background shirts. So please jump on this and enjoy. We're also working on a couple of other fun products, including a jungle card game that should be out by the end of the summer. Now, you are going to love this. Seriously, it's really fun. Also, we have a growing and thriving Facebook community, 1,200 strong and growing. You know, 4 months ago, it was at 400 people. And I credit two things for that growth. One, obviously, is the bump from the Nerdist. But the other is our incredible Skipperette herself, Skipper Jen Chavez. Jen is our content manager for Facebook, and she does an amazing job at curating interesting photos, vintage jungle info, and all other sorts of great daily content. If you haven't, swing over to facebook.com/junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, and make sure you put up a thank you to Jen for volunteering and doing such an amazing job. She is a total lifesaver, and I would not be able to have all these amazing things on our Facebook page if it wasn't for her. We're going to be sitting down for an episode with her soon, and you guys are going to love meeting her the same way that I have since I met her. Now, finally, to wrap this up, we wanted to remind everyone that on July 12th, the Skipper Show will be presenting another night of the Skipper Stand-Up. The show is going to be at the Brea Improv in Brea, California, and it is the real deal. Some great skippers doing really great stand-up, and we want to support the shows to make sure that we're able to get them sold out so we can have more events like this in the future. We have regular posts about it on our Facebook page, but you can also get info at facebook.com/skippershow. It's $10 per ticket, but it's going to be a really great night. We look forward to seeing you all there. So there we go, everyone. That's our State of the Jungle address for July 2015, year 4 of the Tales from the Jungle Cruise podcast. Thanks, everyone. Season 5 is right around the corner, and it's going to be incredible. Stay in touch with us, share us with your friends, and don't forget to drop us a review on iTunes. Those reviews really, really help us get new listeners and give us a lot of visibility on the Apple site. So for what seems like the 1,000th time that I've been able to say this, Kungaloose Jungle friends, this is Skipper Kyle, signing off from another great year of Skippertainment and Podcast Wonder. We'll see you all on the Rivers of Adventure.